God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 30th day of August 2006, and you are listening to our Wednesday evening broadcast. Tonight, our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, brings the message, "Be strong and courageous, and do not be afraid." The primary scripture reference for tonight's message is from Joshua chapters 23 and Joshua chapter 1. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. God bless you, and thank you for listening.
Joshua chapter 23, and right afterwards we'll have a short invitation, kind of a final prayer time, and then after that we will be taking up the Lord's Supper. And I thought, boy, that'd be a great way just kind of end our service and transfer. One of our big goals has been transfer the Spirit God's given us here over to the Ponkin each week, Sundays and Wednesdays, and what a glorious time. And I can't think of a better way to do that than to partake of the Lord's Supper and just make sure our hearts are right for the Lord with one another, and that'll be a glorious time as well. Like I said, we will probably forget something in the next couple of days. Boy, with just the magnitude of the move, I will say this, came to my mind, there are some items in the foyer and possibly in the other building, jackets and so forth, lost and found. I hope you understand, basically, if it's not picked up tonight, it'll probably go down to charity somewhere. We just really cannot store it and go that direction. So if you think you've left anything here, you'll want to check tonight. I know some of you have like pew pillows and so forth. You'll want to take those tonight. Not your pew, but your pew pillow. Big difference, okay? Sweaters, Bibles, because anything left, please don't come to me Sunday and go, "Preacher, I think I left my Bible in the church." You know, and where's that at? I'm going to say, you need to buy a new Bible. You know, it's probably in a box in storage, and we're not breaking everything out, you know. So kind of you want to think about that as we close tonight and go through. Make sure you have all your personal belongings. Joshua 23, let's stand. We're going to read a couple of verses here. I really struggled with what direction to go. Can you all hear me in the balcony okay? Going good? Okay. Joshua chapter 23, Bible says, "And it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, for the officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. You've seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain, to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan, with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. The Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you, and drive them from out of your sight, and you shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be you therefore very courageous, to keep all and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right or to the left, that you come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by their name, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand, for the Lord your God, he is that fighteth for you, and he hath promised you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that you love the Lord your God. Else, if you do in any wise, go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they unto you. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you." Lord, one more time, we open up the scriptures, as has been done for many years here at Central Baptist Church. For over 50 years in this building, Lord, the Word of God has been opened and preached from the pulpit. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to do so. Thank you for the many great men of God that have come, Lord, in not only in recent years, but in years past, Lord. Souls that have been saved, lives that have been changed. Lord, it's our great heart's desire, Lord, as we close with this service tonight, Lord, we realize this is not the end, but the beginning of a new chapter in the life of Central Baptist Church. One, Lord, that will take us on even to greater tasks that we've ever known or done or seen before, Lord. And we trust fully in you and all that you're going to do. So it is with great excitement, Lord, that we go forward. And now we pray your Spirit would be with us tonight. And that, Lord, as we leave with you tonight, Lord, that you'd come back with us, Lord, and guide us back as we meet each and every day with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And as I was praying, God led me to Joshua, and after I began reading and studying throughout the week, it really became clear to me. Joshua here in chapter 23 and 24 is passing away. He's 110 years old, lived a good long life. He's been leading the children of Israel for many years, over a generation now. They've gone through and they've conquered most of the land. Matter of fact, Joshua's one of those great guys that really about the only loss they had was Ai, and they turned around and won that one too, if you know your Bible history. It was just kind of a short lesson there, but every battle they went into, they won. How would you like it that every battle you went into, you would win? You know, it's promised to born-again believers even today. I don't know if you're aware of that. But every battle we go into, we can win if we want to. And Joshua and the children of Israel went forward with God, and they won battle after battle after battle. And now it's coming down to the end. Been great results, great things happening. But in the heart of Joshua was this thought. What's going to happen when I pass away? What's going to happen when I move on? Will God continue to bless? Will the people continue to follow? And so Joshua sat up and in chapter 23 and 24 gave this great speech. Because he was concerned about what would happen later on. He was concerned about what God would do. And if the children of Israel would continue to stay focused on what God had called them to do. Matter of fact, in verse 6, we see as he calls out in verse 6, says, be therefore very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. And he says, look at this, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. You can just see on the heart of Joshua this one thought. You know, are you going to continue? Or are you going to turn to the right hand or the left hand? Are you going to get involved with false gods and false marriages and false religions? Are you going to abandon the God that brought you so far? Are you going to rebel and become stubborn? Or are you going to continue? So on his heart, he just poured out his heart for two chapters there. And boy, I thought, man, what a man of God. What an exciting time that he was going through. And I thought, man, he said, can we stay focused for that long? And I don't know what was going through his mind. Maybe he was thinking of some of the great stories of the past. Maybe he's thinking about Moses and the children of Israel and how they had to lead and how God had led them out and how Moses had to wait 40 years in the wilderness. And with great perseverance, Moses stayed faithful unto God, and at 80 years old, God called him out. Maybe he thought even farther back. Maybe he was thinking about Noah and thinking, man, what a man. God came to him and said, build an ark, man. He said, okay. It took 120 years. But you know what? At the end of the 120 years, the ark was done. And I thought, how do you stay focused to that? How do you stay focused for 120 years on one project? How do you stay focused for 40 years that you're going to keep serving God? And all of a sudden, one day, a burning bush comes and God says, I want you now. And he says, okay, I'm ready. Let's go. How do you stay ready? How do you stay focused? I don't know if we have all the answers to that. I think Joshua supplies a couple of those tonight. We're going to look at those. Because I think the real question for us is, can we stay focused? Can we as a church stay focused with what God has called us to do? Can we stay on the plan of winning souls and baptizing, discipling? Can we stay on the plan of building God's kingdom for the time when Jesus Christ comes back? And the thought came, you know what? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. You say, but preacher, there's churches turning to the right, and there's Christians turning to the left, and there's people abandoning the cause of Christianity, and there's many Baptist churches shutting down and becoming liberal and progressive, and what are we going to do? Let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to stay focused on what God has called us to do. We don't have to go to the right. We don't have to go to the left. And it doesn't matter what location we're in right now. The fact of the matter is we still have a purpose and a plan, and we're going to fulfill it for Almighty God. And the challenge tonight is just this. The only thing that's changing is the location. Our purpose is not changing. Our focus is not changing. Our charge, our challenge that God has given us will not change unless we let it change. The fact of the matter, that's really the key. The only thing that can change anything is if we allow it. Nobody can make us change. Nobody can make us change our doctrines. By the way, we have no plans to change our doctrines because we're in a different location. We have no plans to change our direction because we're in a different location. Everything remains the same. Why? Because that's what God wants. And I thought about that and said, you know what? That's what we need. We don't need to go to the right. We don't need to go to the left. We don't need to get mixed up and distracted in all kinds of different directions. But we do need to stay focused. But how do you do that? How do you, with the turmoil and the transition and the change and all that, stay focused? I believe some of the answers are found in some of the words that Joshua spoke here. And naturally, two chapters, we can't go all the way into it. Just going to really stay here in chapter 23 for a couple of verses. But I want to challenge you and just give you a thought of how to stay focused. And not just now with the church, but even until Jesus Christ comes, that I can live my life and I can be the Christian God wants me to be. And I can accomplish the things that God wants me to be. How in the world do you stay focused? Let me give you two main thoughts tonight. As you look back here in chapter 23, and he comes down, as I said, to verse 6, and he says, don't turn to the right hand or into the left hand. And he goes down, and verse 8, he says this, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. I believe he gives us clue number one. He says this, I tell you how you stay focused. You don't want to turn to the right. You don't want to get off, and you don't want to get way to the right here, as we would say, and you don't want to get so far, and we'd use the term today, legalistic, and get so caught up in religious activities that you don't have no practical witness for God or service for God. We don't want to go to the left where we get liberal and lackadaisical, and we kind of let the world come into the church, and you know, there's so many churches, you can't tell really if it's a church. I mean, they meet, but bottom line is the activities that take place there and outside of the church is just horrible. We don't want to go that direction. How do you stay that way? How do you just go? I think, Joshua, you know what you do? You cleave unto the Lord your God. That word cleave means hold fast. Man, you grab hold and you don't let go. He said, as you've done so far, the same thing that got you to where you're at right now, just hang on to those things and never let them go. You know what our goal is to stay focused? We're going to hang on to the same old things we've always hung on to. We're just going to hang on tight, and we're just going to go forward, and we're going to let God move. You say, what things are you talking about? Well, Joshua gave him a hint in verse 7. Look what he says here. He says, what am I cleaving on to? He says, that you come not among those nations, those that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods and all those things. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 5. That's the next part. He says, and the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. You know, they already possessed most of the land. And I thought about it and I said, well, what do we cleave to? What do we hold fast to? Let me tell you one thing you need to hold fast to. Verse 5 says, you need to hold fast to the memories of what God has already done for you. They had already won every single victory. He says, you can look back and see the land that we already possess. And then he's promising right here, and the land that you are going to possess. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. The same God that blessed us here is going to bless us in Ponca Theater. The same God that's going to bless us there is going to bless us up on Highway 77. Why? Because of the memories that we have. I appreciate Ms. Garrett, you know, the memories that you have and many others have had here. Marriages and people getting saved and people getting baptized in the church and lives being changed. All those things. Guess what? You know what? You never have to lose those. You never have to lose those. You know, we often lose loved ones. It's part of the cycle of life. But you know, I both know one of the greatest things God allows us to keep of that loved one is the memories of that loved one. You know, one of the things that we're not going to lose about Central Baptist Church is the memories that we have here. You know what I believe? If we're going to hold fast, I know we say forgetting those things which are behind and pressing toward the mark. Man, that's good. But I don't think that means forget the good things that have taken place. I don't think that means just wipe your memory clean. No, I don't think that's what it means. I think what it means is don't live in the past, but don't ever forget the past. I don't think we'll ever forget as we drive by these buildings what God's done for us. That's not a negative. I really don't think we will. I don't think we'll ever forget. I mean, I helped build this building. Praise God. Probably when I'm 60, 70, if I'm in Ponca City, I'll probably tell you 100 times, I helped build that building. God knows what's going to happen. We'll be going out to eat. My poor boys, they might as well get ready right now, Sam. Jonathan, here it comes. We'll be driving around. Hey, remember? Yeah, I know, Dad. We helped build that building. I know. Here we go. Have I told you that? Oh, once or twice, Dad. Once or twice. You know, but you know, it's good memories. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with the memories? He says, hey, remember what God's done for you. So often we forget. If we had time to reminisce about all the good things that God has done for us, I guarantee you it's more than the bad that's come into your life. All of us have bad. Welcome to being human. If you think you can go through this life without bad, you might want to wake up right now. Okay? Now, God never promised we wouldn't have bad. But I'll tell you one thing. If you have Jesus Christ, you have a lot of good. You know what you need to remember? Remember all the victories. Remember all the good times. Remember coming to this altar and praying and confessing sin and repenting before God. And by the way, the commitments that you made, they don't stop because we're somewhere else. Okay? And, oh, I made that at the other building. Praise God, I'm relieved. You know, I don't think that's the way it works. You know, new building, new promises, you know. Man, you made commitments to God, you keep those. Why? Those are the memories God gave you. If we had time to read it, you go back and read chapter 23 and 24. Joshua reminisces in chapter 24 about the great things God did. He says, hold fast to those memories. Why? Because they remind you, when you want to go to the right, God's not there. Want to go to the left? You don't want to do that. Why? Because if you go to the right or left, you lose God's blessings. Hold on to the memories because they'll keep you straight. I think secondly, in verse 6, he tells us what else to cleave to. He says, be therefore very courageous and to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. Of course, back then, all they had was the law of Moses. Aren't you glad we have a little bit more now? Amen. You know, one of the things we need to cleave to at Central Baptist Church, besides the great memories that God has given us here, salvations, baptism, man, the great big days, the funny stuff, you know, the fun stuff, besides all those things, we need to hold fast to the message of the Word of God. Now, I want to tell you something. This book, more than any other time, has become precious in our life. We need to get in it. We need to read it and study it, read it and study it, read it and study it some more. Some of you say, I've read it 10 times, preacher. Well, bless God, read it 50, okay? You should never get tired of reading the Word of God. Why? That is what we cleave to. That is what we hang on to. It is this book of the law that is written for us. I love Psalms chapter 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And then it says, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Why? Because the next verse says, he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And it goes in to say that his roots will go deep and his leaf will not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I'll tell you something. You ought to cleave to this book. Why? Prosperity comes from the Word of God. The greatest blessings in our life come from sermons we've heard and passages that we've read. And guess what? He said, don't forget to keep and do. Do. You take this book and you hang on to this book. And I'm going to tell you something right now. You can live your life by this book right here. This book right here. You can raise your kids, do your finances. You can make work work. You can make relationships work. You can make everything work right here. You say, what about marriage? Got an answer right here. You know, what about life's tough questions? You can hang on to this book, folks. I've often thought, you know, if the house is burning down, what do you want to grab? You know, I probably better illustration if you're caught on an island all by yourself. I know they have those shows today, I guess Survivor Series and so forth. We're not talking about that. But if you really were on an island, they gave you a choice of what you could have. Just not a debate to me. My first thought would be, I want my Bible. You why? Besides the physical food that I have to find there, I'd want to keep some spiritual food going through my body. I'd want to hold fast to the most precious thing to me. You say, I want my money. What are you going to do with money on an island? Buy coconuts? They're probably free. You know, I mean, really, what good is it? You know, I want my TV like they have cable on an island. You know, I mean, think about it. But I just stop and think, you know what? The most precious thing, if you take everything away and you were deserted in a desert or somewhere, what would be the most precious thing to you? It would have to be the Word of God. I'm going to tell you something. Joshua's passing away. He's telling him what to hang on to. He says, don't forget your memories. Don't forget them. And he says, don't forget the message of the Word of God. Then he goes down to verse 11. He says, and don't forget to cleave to God himself and to love him. Now, that was interesting to me. Why would you tell someone to love God? That'd be like you come up to me, now, preacher, I know we're moving, but don't forget to love Brenda. I'd go, thank you. Is it strange tonight? Why wouldn't I love my wife? Can I tell you what the problem of love is today? We got love all mixed up here in America. We think love's a feeling. Love is not a feeling. You know, in the Greek, there's about four different words for love. There's storge, which is family love. There's phileo, if you go to that Greek word, it means friendship love. There's eros, which is the feeling love, and I think that ought to be in a relationship. It's also used for lustful love, eros. And then there's agape. You ever know in our American language, we use love really just for everything with one meaning? Think of this. You say, man, I love chocolate pie. And you say, I love my wife. Which one do you really love? Are you saying your wife is chocolate pie? Might want to be careful about that one. I mean, think about that. He comes, I love my dog. And then you turn around and say, I love you, honey. I mean, think about it. I mean, we kind of use this general term. We hear teens saying a lot of times, oh, I'm so much in love. Doubt it. They're probably in love, but it's not the agape love. What is it? It's an eros love. It's a phileo love. We hear it all the time. We say, man, I love you, man. What are we really saying? I'll tell you what Josh was saying here. From the Hebrew side, he's saying, listen, love is a choice. And that's why he says, you want to cleave to God. You want to stay on target. You want to stay focused. You better cleave not only to your memories, to the message of this book, but you better cleave to God himself. And you better choose every single day to get up and say, you know what? I love God. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. You won't always feel that way. You cannot tell me you get up every day and you feel in love with your spouse unless you've been married for just about 2 weeks. For most of you guys, it only takes us 2 days to irritate our spouse, so let's back that up just a little bit. I mean, come on, let's be, oh, no, preacher, not me. I get up and I just feel in love every day. No, you don't. No, you don't. You know, if you do, I have counseling sessions not available now, but we'll make them sometime for you. Okay? I tell you, these couples have been married for years and still in love. I'm telling you why they're in love. They get up and they choose to be in love. They look at that spouse and go, oh, man. You've definitely changed. Can you imagine if we based all of our love just on looks and feelings? I mean, let's just be honest. All of us change. I mean, come on. Except for my wife. She's not changed one bit. I got to clarify before I go too far. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, come on. Can you imagine if it's just based on, wow, man, you're just the Eros love, and I just have this feeling, and that's crazy. Why do you think so many people are messed up today? And they did a study on that, scientific study. I love where they spend their money. You know, probably spent millions, I don't know, you know, to find out. But they said, you know, that there's a chemical that releases, and I think God designed it that way so that we would get married. And I think, I can't remember, I think it lasts about 6 months, or it's a year and 6 months, or just 6 months, short time. And after that, gone. You say, how do you know when it's gone? Oh, you'll know. You'll know. Chemical's gone, you know. But what's happening now? You know what? We laugh about it. You say, well, preacher, you're saying you don't love your wife? I'll just be honest. I love her more today than when we first got married. Yeah. First got married, it was all based on emotions. It was based, sure, on choices. We thought we, you know, knew what love was and everything. But, you know, the older you get, you realize, you know what? We have a deeper love today than we ever had 10 years ago. And in 10 years, it'll be even deeper. You say, why? Because every day we're making a choice. Okay, we're choosing to love each other. And she's having to make a lot of choices for me. But anyway, she's choosing. But it really, and you know what? You know what? Joshua, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it's interesting. In verse 11, he just throws out, oh, by the way, make sure you love the Lord your God. I said, wow. You want to stay on target? Let me help you. You better hold fast to one thing. I don't care what anybody else is doing on the right. I don't care what anybody else is doing on the left. You just grab a hold of Jesus Christ and everything that you already know about Jesus Christ, and you just hang on with everything you've got. And the minute you start to slip, and the minute you start to let go and get distracted over here, get distracted, and there's so many worldly things to distract us. I mean, there's worldly pleasures, there's worldly philosophies, there's worldly problems. You go on and on with distractions. As soon as you start letting go and wanting to grab something else, you just remember, wait a minute, only God gives all the good gifts. James 1:17. Only God can bless me and take care of me in all my troubles. Only God's been there through every situation. I better hang on tight. As you start to slip through some other distraction, you start looking over here to the right a little bit, starting to let go of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden you remember, wait a minute, I remember that sermon. Oh man, I remember that sermon. And you hang on tight. And every day you just keep coming back to one thing, cleaving. Go down to verse 12, the second thing, which is very interesting to me. We had time. Well, we're going to have to make just a minute. Go back to Joshua 1. We won't read all of it, but I want to show you something in Joshua chapter 1. We'll just shorten it down to just a part of two verses here. How's that? Look at Joshua 1:6. The Bible says this. This is God talking to Joshua. Man, I always like this. Moses was passed on. Well, great big shoes Joshua has to fill. How'd you like to replace Moses? I mean, the most revered leader at the time. I mean, 2 million Jews love this guy. You know, Joshua's just kind of the sidekick, you know, helping out with the battles. And all of a sudden, Moses dies. And Moses says, you the man? And Joshua goes, oh, I don't think so. He said, how do you know that? Listen to what God's telling him. I mean, he was scared to death to take the job. He's like, there's no way I can fill his shoes. There's no way I can do that. These people love this guy. Matter of fact, he's just gone now. And everybody talks about Moses, Moses. Who's Joshua? Look at verse 6. God talking to Joshua. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Look what he says. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. That's interesting. Because you jump over to Joshua chapter 23. And you read his speech, and guess what? It's the same exact speech he received from God. He's 110 years. It's been over a generation. And now as he's passing away, he remembers what God told him. He's given the same speech to the people. Say, wait a minute, folks. Listen. Don't lose courage. Look at verse 12. He says it in chapter 23. Else if ye do, in any wise, go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them and go in unto them and so forth and so on. Verse 6 says, be ye therefore very courageous to keep all. Keep all. How do I keep all? Verse 12, don't go back. Else if in any wise you go back. You mean not only do I cleave unto God, but you want me to have the courage to just keep going forward and following God no matter what? Yes. You know what God told Joshua? I'm telling you, all you got to do is just don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of their faces. Don't be afraid of the job. Don't be afraid of anything. You just trust in me and go forward and everything's going to work. And he said, okay. And if God had to tell him that twice in the same chapter, you know why? Because he was scared to death inside. I'm telling you, he was scared to death. Some of you are sitting here right now and we're getting ready to go into big change. Let's just be honest. The older you get, you hate change. I mean, it's horrible. You got your house arranged a certain way. You got everything done. I guarantee some of you are going to get in your car, start talking Sunday morning, and you're going to get ready to pull in right here. I'm going to advise you not to, though. It will be a different kind of service. Good luck. The fact of the matter is things are going to be different. They really are. But I tell you, probably your pastor, I'm going to get in my car, start heading this direction. I get in the office early. I'll probably walk out, think, and start walking across the street and go, they probably don't want me preaching over here today. Be kind of fun, but they probably don't want that. I mean, you just kind of get in these habits. You really do. It's going to happen, you know. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just kind of the way it is when you've gone someplace for so long. But you know what? I believe what he was saying in verse 6 and verse 12 together. He said, hey, be courageous. I'm going to be gone as your leader, Joshua said. I want you to follow these leaders, be courageous, and finish the job that God has called you to do. Finish the job. And he says, and don't go back. He goes on in the next verses to warn them about going back. We don't have time to discuss it all, but just let me tell you this. He's pretty straightforward with them. He says, the same God that's blessing you right now, he says, if you go back, he'll take all the blessings away. As a matter of fact, he says some pretty harsh things. He says, he'll curse you. He says, you want to go back? Fine. But everything you have right now, say bye-bye to. Can I tell you, Central Baptist Church, you know why God's blessing? We've decided to follow the book and walk by faith. If we stop now, the same God that's blessing is the same God that can put the clamps on and stop all the blessings. I've seen many a church do it. They come to a point in their life they've got to make a decision. And out of fear, they don't want to go forward. They don't want to make the decision. They don't want God's, you know, they say they want God's blessing, but they don't want to make the mood. And all of a sudden, God goes, bam. Some of you know it. Some of you are sitting here right now. You've come to a point in your life where God wanted you to do something. You said no. You said no. And you remember what it was like for several years. And it wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty because you told God no. I'm going to tell you something right now. God hates it when we go back. You know, you study through the Word of God, and you see every time somebody went back what God said. Remember that guy, Demas? Wasn't a lot of good things said, was there? Remember that other lady? I think there's a phrase in the book of Luke that says, remember what, who? Lot's wife. You remember her? She's the one who looked back. Remember John Mark? He went back. You go throughout the Word of God and you see these people went back, and every single time there's an admonition of a critique and attack every time they go back. Now I'm going to warn you, listen up. It's so important. If we're going to stay on target, not only do we have to hold on tight to Jesus Christ in this book. But I'm going to tell you, we have to have the courage to keep going forward into waters that we've never been in before, into places we've never been. If you stop and think about it, you say, where is that preacher? I don't know if you're aware of this, but as of Friday, the only property we will own has a picnic pavilion on it. I don't know if you've thought about that. As your pastor, I have thought about that. I've talked to the Lord about that several times. Saying, God, do you realize if this doesn't work out, that I have to have a resume ready real fast? Are you very much aware, Lord, that right now, that if we once we sign on Friday, and that if the money doesn't come in and we don't start building, then I'm in just a little bit of trouble? Because I've just led over 425 people into no man's land. And God just said, it'll be okay. And I'm like, okay, you betcha. But on paper, I'm going, oh, no, not a pretty sight. He said, well, why are we going to go forward? Why don't we just stay where we're at? Because you and I both know God has opened every single door to go forward. Our job is not to question God. People go, preacher, where's the money coming from? I'm looking at you right now. Are we going to have enough, preacher? I have no earthly idea. He said, what are we going to do? We're going to go forward and start building. And we're going to trust the Lord. And we're going to give, and we're going to work hard, and we're just going to trust that God's going to do his work. Why? Because you know what? I have a memory, and that memory tells me there's not one time in 19 years that I've been at Central Baptist Church that we have never made a payment, never paid the light bill, never not paid a salary, never not had the money for anything that we have needed. Why? Because of God. And when I look back over 19 years of everything that we've done, I remember we were building this. If you remember, the church in Tahquah came up for sale. A couple guys came over and said, "Preacher, there's a church for sale." And I went, "What are you, brain dead? We're building one right now. We're not going to move to another territory. What are you, crazy?" And God opened the door, and we went through that whole process, bought that. I remember a missions house came up for sale same time. And we're saving money for something else. And they come by and go, "Hey, we got this house for sale." And I'm like, "I don't have $25,000 for a house. What are you, crazy?" But you know what? They came in, bought the house. And you know how many compliments we get on that house right now? It would blow your mind. There's not a person that doesn't say that says that is one of the greatest blessings in their life. Missionaries, pastors, family members, different people that come in and say, "Wow, she is great." You can tell the people, you know what they say? They always say this, "I can tell your people care." It is a testimony of your hospitality in this church that is going not only in America, but to mission fields all around the land, that when they think, they go, "Man, I would love to go back and visit Ponca City. Wow." I mean, God did that in some of the most troublesome times. Matter of fact, I kind of start looking now. Every time something's going on, I'm like, "Okay, God, what are we going to do now? I mean, what's coming up next?" Matter of fact, I'm kind of expecting to get a phone call tomorrow that we're supposed to buy something. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what it is. And I might not even answer the phone because I'm thinking, this is crazy. You say, why? God just does that. You know why? He stretches our faith. And all he says is, "I just want you to have the courage not to say no and not to go back into the old lifestyle, the old world. You just keep going forward with me and everything's going to be fine." And I see this old warrior that's a winner, revered by the people, standing up saying, "It's time for me to die." But he is afraid of this one thing. Will the people stay focused and complete the task? Will they complete the task? And he says, "You can if you just cleave to the Lord and you have the courage to go forward. And even though there's giants in the land and it's tough, you could do it." And I want to tell you here at Central Baptist Church, I think that's the message for us right now. It really is. I want to challenge you as your pastor not to lose focus. I can't tell you how long it's going to be till the building's totally completed. But I can tell you it probably won't be 120 years. Probably won't be the 40 years that Moses went through the desert. Maybe a year and a half, maybe 3 years, maybe five. I really don't know. It's going to be, but I tell you what, it won't be as long as we think. And all we got to do is not really worry so much about that as we do, are we going to stay focused on Jesus Christ and what he's called us to do? And if we keep winning souls, we keep baptizing, we keep discipling people, God will do the rest. Wherever we are, God will do the rest. So folks, stay on target. Stay focused. Let's stand. As we go into our invitation tonight, may I remind you that we'll be taking the Lord's Supper. And as so, the Bible is clear in 1 Corinthians 11 that as we do that, that we make sure that our sins are confessed and we're right before the Lord. And so that's going to be what we're going to do part of this time during the invitation. It just takes some time to make sure we're right with God in the areas that we need to be right with God. And so we can go forward in purity. And then we're going to take Lord's Supper and just ask God to really challenge us. And ask him even through that, that we're going to show forth our faith in him and our trust in him and that his Spirit would be upon us. And so at this time, we call you as the instruments are playing. If you'd like to come at this time and spend some time with the Lord, you go ahead and come and do that as the instruments play. We're just going to take just a few minutes to do that, so come if you would.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. Stay focused, be strong, and courageous. This has been our final service in our current location at 6th and Hartford in Ponca City. We've purchased 70 acres and we will begin building a new facility just north of Ponca City. In the meanwhile, we will be meeting at the historic Ponkin Building in beautiful downtown Ponca City. So if you ever find yourself in Ponca City, I hope you'll stop by First and Grand and give us the chance to get to know you. God bless you. Have a great week. Thank you again for listening.